Welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. Now let's begin.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I'm your host this week. My name is Chris Lockhart. Joining me are two of my co-hosts in crime. First up, Ragnar. How's it going, Ragnar?
Well, good, and hello, everyone.
And last but not least, we have Kevin Decent on the line. How's it going, Kev?
It is going well, Chris. No matter all the chaos and remodeling going on, I still have my little podcast studio set up.
Nice. What are you remodeling? What are you guys working on?
It wasn't my choice. The landlord is finally going ahead and redoing every room. We have the whole upstairs. Another girl has whole downstairs, but before he moved in, he gutted the downstairs and redid everything. Unfortunately, we've been here like about 15 years, so he's never had an opportunity of no tenant to gut everything.
Yeah.
So he's just going room by room right now. So we have like everything crammed into other rooms while he's working on certain rooms. And then when those ones are done, we'll empty out the other ones so he can work on those rooms and just like Jenga around.
Yeah. Well, that'll be nice when it's done.
Oh, yeah, everything that's done so far looks great. It's just like we can't enjoy the rooms that are done because then we got to throw everything back in there.
Yeah,
I hear you. Kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it's... I don't know about you guys, but where I am right now, it's kind of chilly out. We went from like really hot weather to rainy, cool weather. And then I'm told next week we're going to get really hot again. So
I think over here we had some crazy record setting heat, and then in Celsius it's about 20 degrees right now, and it's supposed to actually get cold all of next week.
Oh really? I think right now it's like maybe 12 out there. Like it's not.
Oh yeah, that's chilly.
Yeah, like I'm still wearing shorts and everything. Don't get me wrong. I was able to mow my lawn today, so I was pretty happy about that. I mean, it's been raining. I thought I would have lots of grass, but I actually didn't. I was actually surprised how little it actually grew. But I guess with it being a little bit colder, you know, maybe that had something to do with it.
Could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Say, we're comfortable here. Like, I'll go out to the car in the morning to head to work, and there's, you know, dew on the car. You just hit the wiper blades, get that off. But then I could wear T-shirt and shorts, you know, for the day. Just a little brisk when you walk outside first thing in the morning, but otherwise fine.
That's nice. Yeah, I look forward to that. Like, right now, it's just a little bit chilly. But I still haven't turned my furnace back on. Like, I'm almost contemplating, like, should I turn the furnace back on? I don't know.
Oof.
Yeah. And I shouldn't be thinking that at this time of the year.
No, especially with that crazy heat wave.
Oh, yeah. Like,
just, what, 3 days ago? Like,
well, for us, it was last week.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, I would say last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be worse. Could be snow. You know?
Yeah. Oh, that's not out of the question ever.
No, it never really is. No, not here. But anyway, Yeah, so for this episode, every year since I, you know, started this podcast, the Pop Culture Pub Podcast, we do a Picks and Pans episode. So this is basically like our brain candy segment, but it's just for a whole episode. And I usually try and do it halfway through the year, maybe a little bit before, just because at the end of the year we do our best of and all that kind of stuff. So that's basically all we got for this episode, is we're just going to talk about stuff that we liked and didn't like and so on and so forth. I'll kick it off because right now I've been binging The Office, like the American version, Steve Carell, all them guys. I always knew about it. Like, it was one of those shows that was always on my radar, but I never got into it because it's a continuous story. Like each episode, builds on the last type of thing. Like they do a story arc type of thing. And I never got into it because it always seemed like I didn't know what was going on, you know? But I watch clips on YouTube every now and then, and I don't know, recently I just got into watching a lot of clips of The Office. Like, people, there's a lot of channels out on YouTube that do the best of and all that kind of stuff, and I've been watching them and enjoying them. I figured, I just gotta finally watch the show. That being said, I started at the end of season 2. Because I read that season 1 wasn't very good, and I didn't really want to start there. I've been watching it and really enjoying it. My daughters are both big fans of The Office, and I don't know. It's just one of those that it's kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like I'd never got into that show until last year, and then I started I was watching clips on YouTube and thinking this is hilarious. Like I should just sit down and watch the show. And for that show, I started I think like season 6, and then I watched up to season 9, and then season 10 came out, and then I went back and rewatched like the first 5 seasons. 1, 1, 2, 5. Another show that was always on my peripheries, but I never really delved into. I was looking at pictures of the UK version of The Office, and like I knew Ricky Gervais was in it, and I knew that he was one of the guys behind the American version of The Office. But I didn't realize that Martin Freeman was in The Office.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. I was like, what? I mean, I love Martin Freeman from originally, like my first introduction to Martin Freeman was Sherlock. I love Sherlock. And then of course he's in the Hobbit movies and he's in the Black Panther movie and he's in Captain America Civil War. So I know of him, of course. But I never realized he was, cause I didn't really look into it. And I was like, holy, a much younger version, of course, of Martin Freeman. But, wow. I'm going to have to check that one out, too, when I'm done the American version. Although, I have read Ricky Gervais is quoted as saying that the American version is better. So, for curiosity's sake, I'll probably check it out eventually. So it's definitely a pick for me. The Office. I'm really enjoying it. And I don't know, right now I just needed something funny in my life. It's just the right time, I guess. Have either of you ever watched The Office or the UK version?
I watched the UK version and I loved it. I thought it was, very British and
yeah.
Ricky Gervais was so cringy in it.
Yeah.
It's almost painful to watch. But I quite enjoyed it. I've only seen like random episodes of the American one. And I certainly didn't hate it, but I think you kind of have to watch the whole thing to really enjoy it. Like just seeing a random episode was like, doesn't mean anything to me,
Yeah.
So it's on my to watch list because enough people I know talk about it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good actors in it, too.
Oh, yeah. Stacked.
Like, yeah, like John Krasinski. I think that's how you say his name.
I think so.
Yeah. He's in another show that is on my peripheries that I want to watch. The Jack Ryan show. What's it called? Is it maybe called just Jack Ryan? On Amazon?
I think so.
Because I love those like the movies, like, you know, Clear and Present Danger, Hunt for Red October, even the one that Ben Affleck did, like, as a character, I like that movie. So I know I would like this show, like his show, but now that I'm watching The Office, it's like, man, I can't imagine him as Jack Ryan, but, you know, I guess, like, I've seen him in that, that movie that the sequel just came out.
Quiet Place.
Yes, I seen him in that movie, and I really enjoyed that movie. And I've seen, you know, on the internet where they're trying to get, like, people are really pushing for him to play Reed Richards in a Fantastic Four movie, and for his wife Emily Blunt to play Susan Storm.
They're too old, but otherwise that would have been awesome.
Yeah, like but I'm okay with them being old. Like Reed Richards always had like the wingtips, right? Like, yeah, well, not maybe I not always, did, but it was fairly early on that he got those, you know, Polly Walnuts wingtips, right? So you know, him being a little bit older, I always thought Susan was a little bit younger, but Emily Blunt's still beautiful. Like, I mean,
oh, yeah, man.
Yeah,
I'm not suggesting that. I suppose, like, you could start the Fantastic Four and not start it at the beginning again. You could just assume that we know the character's origins more or less, and pick it up a little bit later in the story.
Well, I always like, this was what I had in mind, is that they were like a superhero team in the 60s, like in the Marvel Universe. Like, it's just we've never heard of them because they disappeared, and, you know,
right,
like, and then they can come back like in modern times, you know, through time travel or going into the negative zone or whatever. And another brilliant casting I saw was I think it's brilliant, it was Bill Burr as the Thing.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I just think that's brilliant. Because, I mean, you know, like, Michael Chiklis was good in the first couple Fantastic Four movies as the Thing, but, you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be like a bulky dude. Like, you can see, you know, totally CGI the Thing, aka, you know, like the Hulk, right? And I just think Bill Burr, like, he's just got that, you know, disposition about him. I think he would be perfect in that role.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and Johnny Storm, I don't know. I wasn't against, you know, in the new newer Fantastic Four movie, you know, like where he played like the adopted brother, right? And it was Michael B. Jordan. Like, I'm not against, you know, doing something like that, but I don't know. Like I understand trying to, you know, have a little bit of diversity in casting. Because, I mean, like, back in the day, like, you know, like, that was just the way comics were made. Like, everyone was white, you know. Like Stan Lee and Jack Kirby really broke boundaries with Black Panther and characters like him. So, you know, but I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know who I'd want as Johnny Storm. If we were going to go that route. But anyway, that was a little tangent for The Office. Ragnar, what's first up on your list of picks and pans?
Well, the first one I'm going to go with is the Netflix show Sweet Tooth.
Ooh.
For me, this was definitely, and I won't go into great detail. It's a very new show. Lots of people haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do my best not to give anything away. but for me, it's a definite pick. It like 3 minutes into it, I was in love with it.
Nice.
And my only complaint is that they only, season one is only 8 episodes, and where it ends in season one doesn't feel like an ending. It feels like a mid-season thing. And that is my only complaint, is that I was so in love with it. I 8 episodes is not enough. But it is beautifully shot, very well acted, very well written, and very convincing in the world that it creates. And in a way, it reminds me of when I was younger and I read the Harry Potter books. The first book is a kid's book, but by the end of the series, it's like an adult series.
Mm-hmm.
And Sweet Tooth for me was like that. It starts out and you're like, oh, it's sort of a kid show. And very quickly, and you realize, oh no, this is not a kid show. This is just a show that has kids in it.
Yeah.
And, I can't say enough good things about it. It was just fantastic.
Awesome.
So yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, definitely, definitely recommend it. I have not read the graphic novels that it's based on, but I heard an interview with the guy who wrote them, and he says the show is basically just the books come to life. So I think they're probably worth checking out too.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that, because that is what my wife and I are going to be binging next.
Because we're going to love it.
Yeah, we saw the trailer and I was like, you know, this might, because I've never actually read the comics. Like, I know of them. And Jeff Lemire, I believe, is the writer, the creator.
Yes, that's his name.
Yeah, and I love Jeff Lemire. Like, he does a lot of good things over at DC. And he does some independent stuff that's really good as well. That's great to hear. That's awesome. Kevin, what's next, or what's up? First up on your list?
I was gonna say I haven't done Sweet Tooth yet, but it is getting buzz. I've seen the graphic novels come through work a lot lately, which means everyone's nice. Tuning into it and getting interested. Just to double back for a second for Fantastic Four.
Okay.
I heard a fantasy casting, and ever since I heard it, I really dug it. Seth Rogen as the Thing.
I wouldn't be too upset about that either.
Just to get like the Jewish humor sarcasm inside of Thing, I think would be really good to do.
Yeah, I love Seth Rogen.
He was great as Pumbaa in the Lion King live action version.
I'll have to check. Yeah, I've never watched the live action. I know my wife. She didn't really care for it, but
no,
But that is
too close, yeah.
Yeah, that animated movie, though, like, I mean, that's pretty hard to try and top, right? Like, that's got to be one of Disney's best.
Oh, for sure it is.
But anyway, Kevin, go ahead.
All right, for a pick, frequently it's you guys wanting to watch an American show, and this week it's me picking a Canadian show. Because Hulu has exclusive U.S. rights in a partnership with Crave for all, 9 seasons now, I think, of Letterkenny.
That's a great show, man.
So, yeah. So I heard about it, and I'm like, all right, we kind of need like a good half-hour show at night. You know, just something we can pop on that we haven't seen already that we'll be entertained by, though. And I was like, well, let me do like a minute and see if it looks like something my wife would like. And, you know, if I think she would, then I'll suggest it later tonight.
Yep.
I made it like 3 minutes into the first episode until they like it's one scene and then they get their little bumper with the logo. And I watched that and went, oh, yeah, we're going to be in. I just stopped right there. I didn't even finish the episode. I just did that one part, and I was like, yep, we're in.
Nice.
And, like, we'll go through episode or two every night since. and just losing it. And of course, like, you know, adding in some of the jokes and the one-liners and the repeated things into our own day-to-day lives too. And what gets me for is you try to describe it to someone, and I'm like, I don't even know how to describe it. My best one, I was like, take early Kevin Smith dialogue and put it in the Boonies of Canada.
Yeah.
Like, just whip smart pop culture conversations between people and on a farm in Ontario, though.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. Even episodes where I'm like, what the hell are they doing? By the end of it, I'm losing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only on Hulu in the U.S., so even though, like, it's popular, it's still kind of cult in a way, too, though. But, of course, I'm already looking up, like, random merchandise and Etsy stores and stuff like that for it. Like, I need stuff from the show now. I did find you can order the beer that they drink on the show, but only in Ontario. They will not ship it outside of the province.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, just liquor and alcohol laws the way they are, I'm not shocked either.
Well, Ontario, I think their liquor is run by the government, I believe.
Yeah.
So that could be it. Like all the liquor stores themselves are government run. I don't know what it's like in the I know in the state, like in the some of the states I've been in, you can buy liquor at the convenience store.
Well, that's the thing. It varies by state. Like in New York, you can't buy liquor in a grocery store. Okay. So you need to go to a special liquor store to get your liquor, but beer you can sell in a grocery store.
Huh.
Weird.
Very.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, we have liquor stores. Like in Alberta, it used to be government run, so it was like one, you only had one liquor store in a town, and it was government regulated and blah, blah, blah. But now it's, the government still controls the liquor, but independent stores sell it now. So you can get stuff really cheap, or, you know, like if you're a smaller town and you don't have that alternative, you're paying a little bit more. So yeah, like if stuff coming out of Ontario, like I know we get some beers from there, but not a lot. I know Steam Whistle's from Ontario. And it's a good beer. I like it.
Oh yeah, Steam Whistle's great.
And I love it because their boxes are like the perfect shape that you can use them for comic books. And they're strong that's enough a great to hold
idea.
Them. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like they're the perfect shape, and they're a little bit stronger. So they're perfect for comic books. Letterkenny, I've watched a few episodes. Like, I know one of the guys at work, he was watching them one night on his break on the big TV, and it's pretty funny. But I think, you know, it's one of those shows, like kind of like The Office, where I got to kind of watch a few to get what's going on, you know. But, yeah, it's one of those. There's so many fun Canadian comedies out there now that I got to, like Schitt's Creek and Kim's Convenience. And, you know, there's still episodes of Coroner Gas I haven't seen. That was a great show.
Letterkenny is like the grown-up version of Corner Gas.
Yeah, that's what it kind of seems.
It's basically the same premise. It's a small town in the middle of nowhere, and it is about the colorful cast of weirdos and hicks that live there. But Corner Gas is very like friendly and family oriented, and Letterkenny, it's not that it's not those things, but it's definitely a little bit more risque.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a sense of family, there's a code of honor, but I would agree with the risque part. But they're pushing what they could get away with, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just love the way they talk, you know? Like, when, like, sayings like, hard no. Like, I love saying that.
Yeah.
I really don't want to do something, I'm like, hard no. You know?
Yeah. Oh, we do, to be fair, now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think actually a lot of Canadians use that before the show anyways.
Yeah, that is definitely a Canadian saying for sure. I don't know if they say it on the show, but fair enough. I work with a guy and he says that all the time. Fair enough. All right. Well, the next thing on my list is a pan. I've already talked about this in length many times, but prior to this episode, I asked the guys to watch the teaser trailer for Star Trek Picard season 2. You know, I haven't seen season 2. It's not coming out till 2022. But just based on this trailer, the trailer's a pan for me. And I still maintain season 1 is a pan. Like the trailer.
You're being too polite.
Yeah, like the trailer. Like I want this to be good so bad. You know, as God and Kevin are my witnesses. You know, I had high hopes for season 1. I really did. I wanted it to be good. Even after the first episode, I was like, you know, they might be going someplace with this, you know. And then I think it was episode 2, then I was like, I don't know. This isn't, you know, when that Irish-speaking Romulan, you know, busts out that thing that can, like, replay time. You know, and show you what happened, like how a fight broke out in a room. I'm like, there's no way that could ever possibly be possible, even in the 25th century. So, and there's so much to that first season that, you know, doesn't make sense. Like, why was Picard dreaming of Data? You know, when Data's consciousness was, okay, I was just thinking about this today. When Data's consciousness was found in that computer on the android's world, they could have had it where, like, say, Data himself hacked the system and was sending transmissions to Picard. And, you know, like, yep. You know, maybe because Picard has an artificial heart. You know, Data hacked into the Wi-Fi of Picard's heart and was literally sending him messages in his sleep. You know, I need you to go find these girls. I need you to bring, you know, like, but they didn't do that. Like, I mean, you know, so there was that, you know, like Picard just happens to be dreaming of Data, just, you know, and there's a painting that happens to, you know, have Data's daughter on it. And what were they doing? Why was their memory erased? Why were they running away? Why was Bruce Maddox on the run? You know, like they literally left this utopia of a planet. For what reason would they never tell us? Then you got these ancient alien, you know, AIs that want to destroy the universe for some reason. You've got, you know, this Romulan cult. You know, apparently, you know, artificial intelligence has been outlawed in Romulan society. And, like, there's so many things that, you know, and then there was the whole Borg cube angle. Like, what was the point of the Borg cube? I don't know. It was, you know, why did we need 7 of 9 in it? You know, why is she in season 2? Like, what does she have to do with Picard? Even now, I don't understand it. Like, she was in the trailer. You know.
And not only was she in the trailer, but the moment she's in the trailer for season 2, it seems more like it's a bigger deal that she's in it than that Q or Picard are in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they're going to make him a background character in his own show again, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the big thing. Like, you know, like one of the problems I had was, yeah, they made Picard look like a stupid old man. And I'm sorry, but that's not Picard. You know, Picard would not put up with that. There's no way.
See, I was wondering if the things Q said in the trailer, if they're changing some of the timeline around from the first season to fix some of the problems that viewers like you had with it.
Well, I'm hoping so. But given that they couldn't even tell a coherent story in the first season, I don't, you know, I just, I mean, you can use that, you know, that Q, you know, angle, you know, like really he can literally snap his fingers like Thanos and do whatever he wants. But I just don't, I don't have faith in that writing room. I really don't, you know, unless, you know, they really were watching these YouTube bloggers and, you know, and we're seeing all this negativity and all the things they did wrong pointed out. And then they actually took that back to the writer's room and were like, okay, we got to fix this now. How are we going to fix this? Q. Okay. You know, that's
and,
the way to do it.
And you could totally do that. And I mean, also, and this is why I will watch the first episode.
Yeah.
Most Star Trek series aren't particularly good in season one.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare them to season two and later seasons.
Yeah.
Like TNG, see, you watch season one and then you watch season two and you're like, wow, season one had some weird stuff going on.
Yep.
And Enterprise, season one is like, well, I slept through the whole thing and I didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
So it is possible that season two will start to right the wrongs of season one. However, I would not bet money on that.
Yeah. Well, and not just that, but the whole premise of Star Trek Picard is based on the involvement of Patrick Stewart. I mean, the guy's almost 80. You know, I know. Like, I really don't see the show going, you know, like, honestly, past this season, I don't even know if they're going to do a third season. Like, you know, like I love Patrick Stewart, and I mean, if he's up for it, I mean, you know, like I, like just last week I was sharing pictures of Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones. Like I had real doubts about that movie, man. Until I seen him, and I'm like, you know, he's looking pretty good. Like I mean, he's old, but he's looking pretty good in that indie getup. You know, so I'm hopeful.
And see, like the last indie movie, he was perfectly believable as a grumpier, older indie. Yep. But as a whole, that last movie wasn't particularly good.
No.
He wasn't the problem. He was great. And you know what I will say about that movie? I think it's the first time I've ever seen Cate Blanchett not be amazing. She was the weird Nazi villainess, and her accent was really phony. And I'm like, wow, she finally made a bad movie. Because, like, everything else I've ever seen her in, she's always phenomenal. And in that Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, I was like, huh.
Yeah,
I didn't know she could suck, but she can.
Yeah. Wow. She was definitely a caricature of your typical Soviet Cold War, you know, villain. Right.
And pardon me, you're right. I said Nazi, but you're right. No. I was mistaken.
That's fine. But I guess I do have a little bit of news this week. There were some pictures on the set of the new indie movie where there are Nazis there. Like there's the swastikas and everything. So the theory is that the show, that the movie's going to begin during World War II. So we might see, you know, some de-aging effect. You see a younger Indy because, what's his name? Mads Mikkelsen? Did I say his name right? He, I guess, is the bad guy in this movie. And apparently...
And he's a great villain.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome. And apparently his character and Indy have some history. So I'm wondering if they're going to do a flashback scene, kind of like they did on The Last Crusade. Where you saw the young Indy. But this time we would see a younger, you know, de-aged Harrison Ford with a de-aged Mads Mikkelsen fighting it out during, you know, during World War II. And then the rest of the movie, I would assume, takes place in the 60s. Because it is Harrison Ford as he looks now, like the pictures, the other pictures I've seen. And also, what's his name's in it? The guy who played Arnim Zola on...
I was just going to say.
Captain America.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure I spotted that guy in a shot with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he's a great actor. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Yeah. He's one of those actors, I don't know his name, but I recognize him whenever I see him.
Yes. Well, he's a British actor. He's been in an episode of Doctor Who. He's been on Sherlock. I want to say season 3. Toby something.
Yeah.
Toby Jones. I can look it up. Toby Jones.
Okay.
Because, I seen him on the Graham Norton show. He was with Catherine Zeta-Jones, and I remember him asking if they were related. But, yeah, he's a great actor. So, you know, I'm psyched that he's on there. And I've still got fingers crossed that he'll show up in the Marvel Universe as Arnim Zola.
Well, it could still happen.
Yeah, well, because they already had him as the artificial intelligence. Like, I want to, because I don't know if you guys remember, in the comic books, Arnim Zola basically has, like, this robot suit, and he's got, like, a huge TV screen, like a Teletubby screen on his belly, and that's Arnim mm-hmm. Zola's face. Like, that's what I want to see. Yeah, so it's like a Teletubby, sort of, but cooler.
Yeah.
But, the season 2 trailer, getting back on Star Trek Picard, I love John DeLancey, so I'm again, like you, Ragnar, I'm probably going to watch it, probably all the way through, and then criticize it if they fail again.
I'm only going to watch the first episode. If I'm not hooked in the first episode, I ain't watching the rest of it.
Well, John DeLancey's in it, and Whoopi Goldberg's supposed to be in it as well.
Yeah.
LeVar Burton has confirmed that he is not in it. And I think Michael Dorn said he's not in it, too. So, you know, I gotta see what they do here. And honestly, if that is the answer, like if they're gonna have Q kind of rewrite things, like maybe we're watching an alternate timeline of Picard in the first season.
That could happen.
But if they are going to do that, I think it's a mistake to reveal Q in the trailer. You know, because, like I knew John DeLancey's going to be in it because I read about it. But, you know, the average person who's not following this kind of stuff, I don't think would know that. So when they actually watch the show, I don't know. It's kind of a catch-22, I guess. But on the one hand, you know, like, I think it's a mistake to have him in the trailer, like, save that as a surprise. Like, this is how we're going to retcon things, this is how we're fixing it. But on the other hand, guys like me that are critical of the first season, this has given us hope. So, you know, might actually bring those people that said, I ain't going to watch it, may bring them back. Because they're thinking, well, Q's in it, so maybe, you know, they're redoing things. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But so far, it is a pan for me. But I'm a sucker for punishment. So, Star Trek Picard. And the first season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, whenever that airs, I'm going to be watching that because Anson Mount's in it. I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hell on wheels.
He was definitely... He was one of the better parts of Discovery. Bear in mind, on Discovery, I dropped out halfway through season 2, so
yeah.
I don't know all the other stuff that's happened, but what I saw, he was amongst the better parts.
Oh, yeah. It definitely picked up when he showed up. And like I said, I'll give a pick to Hell on Wheels. I'm not sure where it's airing right now on streaming, but I love that show. It's one of my favorite Westerns.
Isn't Chief O'Brien in it?
Yes. Yep. Cole Meany. He's in it. It was filmed in Alberta. And it was great. It was an awesome, awesome Western. Ragnar, next on your list, sir.
Well, it is a little early. We are just out of the gate with this one, but it's a definite pick for me. Loki.
Nice.
And again, I'm going to do my best to not spoil anything for those who haven't seen it. But I've seen the first 2 episodes and I'm loving it.
The actor who plays Loki, of course, is a stellar actor.
Yep.
And he brings so much mischief and charisma to the role that you could just watch Loki doing anything and it would be interesting. And then Owen Wilson is, I mean, he's definitely a favorite actor of mine, and he's very much playing, like, the character he's playing reminds me so much of Robin Williams' character in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, hey, this guy's actually like a serious good actor. And just because he's been in lots of dumb movies, he actually can act, and he's actually a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very excited to watch the rest of it and see where it all goes, because so far it's been interesting. It's been, I would say it's more dramatic than the previous two Marvel shows, Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision. And yeah, every episode feels like a movie, and I'm loving it, and I'm super stoked to see the rest of it. I also treated myself to an early birthday present, and I bought a bigger, newer, better TV. So
nice.
Watching it last night on my, I named my TV 58 inches of pleasure. So watching it on that was even better than watching it on my previous TV. So
nice. Yeah. Where to start? Yeah. Tom Hiddleston's awesome. One of the criticisms that I've seen is people are upset that they basically kind of turn the Infinity Stones into a joke now.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, when they that scene where they open the drawer and there's all of them, oh, yeah, we use them as paperweights. And everyone's like, well, you know, that just makes it, you know, kind of, you know, neuters the, you know, the Infinity Stones. It's like, yeah, but the Infinity Saga's over in the MCU. You know, like, we don't need, you know, like, I really don't think we're doing anything more with the Infinity Stones, so who cares? You know, Thanos,
and
like, we watched those movies as they were being released. Thanos did what he did. We were shocked, and we were happy when the Avengers undid it all in Endgame. Like, we weren't, you know, like, I really don't think they were going to be doing anything else with these, you know.
So, just to clear, yeah, go for it, Kevin.
I was going to say, it's Dragon Ball Z booking. You have this threat that takes forever to defeat. You get a little breather after you defeat him or her, mostly him for Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. And then when the new villain shows up or a new character shows up and defeats that previous one in 2 seconds, you're like, oh, you're established now as an even bigger threat in minutes. Yeah. So, I mean, it's establishing them as, okay, this was what you thought was big and all-powerful. You haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah. And that's
also...
Yeah, go ahead, Ragnar.
Well, just to expand on what Kevin's saying there is that the point of the Infinity Stones being a joke, a paperweight, was that where they are in this place that exists sort of outside of time, the Infinity Stones have no power.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to take those stones out of that location, they would go back to being regular Infinity Stones. So it's more like what Kevin's saying. The point wasn't so much that they're a joke and the movies are discredited so much as there's a new power that we're being introduced to that's even more powerful than the Infinity Stones.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, people got to realize that. You know, like, I mean, if this show had taken place before Endgame, then I'd be like, okay, now, you know, like, that kind of ruins it because, you know, that was the threat. But, I mean, now it's over. Like, you know, the only thing I could see them doing with the Infinity Stones at this point is a Cap movie where you see him actually going back and taking the stones back.
Yeah.
Which I still think would be amazing.
I'd watch the hell out of that.
Yeah. but, yeah, no, Loki's fantastic. I think it's great. I think, yeah, the acting's solid. Owen Wilson, yeah, like you said, is amazing. I don't want to say too much because, I don't want to give away, especially what happened in the last episode.
Can't really say too much else without spoiling it for those who haven't seen it.
Yeah, but we'll definitely do, like, at the end of the season, we'll definitely do an episode where we talk about it.
Yeah.
It's great so far. Kev, what's your thoughts on Loki thus far?
I haven't been able to see it yet because of everything going on here.
Oh, yeah.
We've not had free time other than, like, a quick little Letterkenny before bed, but we've not had time to really sit down and watch something we got to pay attention to.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. So I'm, like, completely avoiding things.
Yeah. So, yeah,
I knew some stuff, like, enough trickle through.
Yeah. We won't get into too many details because... I think it's great. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. Kevin, next on your list, sir.
All right, so I won't spoil anything because there's nothing out yet. And you picked a trailer, so I'm going to pick even less than that, really. I'm picking just a picture as something that's a pick for me.
Okay.
And that's going to be the next Rob Zombie film, The Munsters.
Ooh. Yeah!
It makes so much sense. It's going to be a love letter to all of it.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's probably going to be his most successful financially movie ever that he's done.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be so much merchandise and toys around this, too. He's going to just go nuts with it and have a blast. I can't wait.
And, I mean, it's a totally different subject matter, but his Halloween remake was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You're right, man. This could be huge. Yeah.
Well,
he's passionate about this stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Like, he's a fan of the source material. So
his biggest hit song is Dragula.
Well, he actually owns Dragula because
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
isn't just a guy who watches the show. This is a guy who, like, almost lives it.
Well, to go on a little tangent on this, another person that was rumored to be doing something but nothing's materialized yet is Seth MacFarlane doing the Flintstones.
I have heard that one too.
Yeah, that's been floating around for a while. And I think he loves the Flintstones. Like, my only wish for him is don't spin it into, like, a Family Guy, American Dad type of sense of humor. Like, keep it like the Flintstones. Yeah. Because he's a super fan of the Flintstones. Plus, he actually worked for Hanna-Barbera at one time. So, to me, it's like, as long as he stays true, like, it's a win-win. But I also heard there was somebody else. Was it Seth Rogen? There was somebody else I heard that might be doing a Flintstones remake. But anyway,
I don't know if I'm into that or not, but
in my opinion, as long as you stick to the original formula and don't, make it I don't know. But then again, there was that comic book series they did at DC two, 3 years ago. It was the Flintstones, and it was more of a contemporary take on it. It still took place in the Stone Age and in Bedrock and stuff, but it was a little bit more serious. It was really good. I really liked it. Was it Mark Russell? I think Mark Russell was the writer on it. I would highly recommend checking that out. It's 12 issues.
Okay.
For example, the one issue, if I'm remembering correctly, Wilma decides to give Fred a new birthday present, so she buys him a new bowling ball. And as you know, in the Flintstones, like, the bowling balls were like armadillos or something rolled up.
yeah.
So anyway, the story was his old bowling ball. This meant that he was going to get thrown away, and he didn't want to leave the house because that's his home. So it was kind of sad, like, because he's basically trying to sabotage the new bowling ball's chances of staying in order for him to stay. And then, yeah, he ends up getting thrown out, I think. And now he's a homeless armadillo. It was something along those lines, if I remember correctly. You know, it kind of made you think. It's like, yeah, when we watched the Flintstones, it was always funny that they were using animals and stuff for these, these things. But, you know, what happens, when he gets a new bowling ball? What happens to the old one? You know, now he's, thrown away, and now he's homeless. And it makes you think a little bit. And I think it might have been the same issue where, like, Dino's like the family pet, everyone loves him, but what about all the other animals that are in the house? Like the one that does the vacuuming, like the elephant with the snout, and, the animal that cuts the lawn that does, how do they like Dino? You know, like, they don't like Dino because Dino gets all the love and attention, and they basically are used as slave labor. And it's not something you thought about when you watched the Flintstones originally, like they'd always have some sarcastic remark, that they would make, and that'd be like the joke. But it's like, yeah, they're actually using these animals, to do crappy things. And Dino's the only, only one that, gets any of the attention. But yeah, it was great. It was a great series from DC. I definitely recommend it. So Kevin, what in particular about this picture has got you psyched?
Right now all that they've said is he's doing it and showing the classic logo. But I think for someone what right now I would say is a dead franchise,
mm-hmm.
Your kids aren't gonna know it. He could make something that would have this cult appeal and generational appeal, kind of like the Addams Family movies in the 90s did.
Yeah.
And you could really get a whole new audience discovering it, discovering the macabre humor, people that will remember it and know, like, oh, that's when I realized I was a geek, or I was goth, or I was into, the strange new world here. I think he could fill a gap with this, of your like 80s kid movies that had some danger to it, some horror, some element of something more mature, like Monster Squad, like Goonies,
yep.
We had so many things that weren't just saccharine kids movies like a lot of them are today.
Yeah,
I think he could bring like so much back, and the more successful he is, the more you're gonna have other studios saying, oh, we need to do that too, and then we could get even more cool stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah.
I mean, we're probably only a couple months away from seeing way too many, Funko Pops for it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It'll be about 20 right away, and then more later.
Yeah, that's the thing about Funko. I love the fact that they have the licenses to all these different franchises. I think it's so cool. But at the same time, it's like, they keep releasing new stuff, and it's like, I'm running out of room, man. I got to put my foot down, to myself. I got to tell myself, Chris, quit buying these things. all right. So how many more do you guys have on your lists? I'm just curious at how many trips we want to take.
Well, honestly, those are the only two that I really pulled out.
Okay.
Yeah, I got like one more for sure.
Okay. I could throw another one out there. And Ragnar, if you can throw another one out there too. If you don't, that's fine. And I mentioned this not too long ago, maybe it was our last episode we did. But one thing I'm really enjoying is the MODOK series, from Hulu in the States. And it's called Star up here. It's attached to Disney Plus. It's based on the character MODOK from Marvel Comics. I think it's hilarious. I love Patton Oswalt. I like his kind of sense of humor. And, you know, it's funny. I love all the cameos that they do. Like, they get a lot of good voice actors. A lot of good actors that aren't necessarily voice actors, guest starring on the show. Like, Jon Hamm is Tony Stark in this world. And it's like the claymation type of animation. And I just love how ridiculous and how much of a loser MODOK is. And how he's kind of his own worst enemy. You know, like, and when you really think about it, like, in the comic books, like, his schemes and everything are always thwarted, you know, by the Avengers or by the Hulk or whatever. Because he's, you know, he does something really stupid, you know, like, he's one of those guys that just, he can never get a win. And I love the fact that, you know, he's got a family, like his, you know, his wife and him are separating, and, you know, and he's really lost without her. I love how, you know, how they play as kids. I love the fact that his daughter looks like him. Like, she's got, like, the MODOK outfit, too, but they never, like, acknowledge it. Like, they never bring it up, like, you know, that she's not like anyone else except her dad. They just don't talk about it. And I love that. I love that kind of humor. Like, the last episode was, like, there's this bar that all the big supervillains go to, and he's trying to get in, but they won't let him in because he's, you know, basically been demoted at AIM. He doesn't run AIM anymore. So he goes to the other bar where all the, like, the side villain sidekicks or the low-tier villains hang out, and he's, you know, trying to get them together to steal Captain America's shield with him so he could take it to the big supervillain bar and try to impress all the big supervillains. but you know, they screw up and all that. It's hilarious. I really enjoy it. I've heard it compared to Robot Chicken. Like, it's that type of style of animation, and I think some of the people behind Robot Chicken make this show as well. Like, I know Seth Green is involved. And I can't remember. I think maybe Seth Rogen is involved. But yeah, it's hilarious. It's fun. It's what I look forward to on Fridays. But starting next week, the final season of Bosch is dropping on Amazon. So I'm super excited about that. I think it's next week.
I just started watching that series, so I'm only on in, you know, a couple episodes into season one so far.
Oh yeah, I love it. I'm just sad that this is the last season coming up, because I'm of the opinion they could keep doing this, like they should. Because each basically, from what I'm told, each season is like a book based. I can't remember the book series now. But the character Bosch, you know, like, he is a detective, and each book is a separate story arc, and there's more books than there is seasons. So I don't know. I'm thinking maybe the actors, you know, maybe, Titus, Welliver, who plays Bosch, maybe he, you know, wants to move on to other things, that type of thing. I don't know. But yeah, it's a great show. I can't say enough great things about it. And yeah, I'm sad that it's ending, but like I said, the new season's going to be starting, I think, a week from Friday. And then MODOK new episodes drop on Friday. So I'll have a couple shows to watch, as well as Loki that drops on Wednesdays. Ragnar, what do you got, for your final pick or pan?
Well, I'm going to go with a pan this time.
Okay.
I just had a brain fart and I forgot the name of the whole thing. Ugh. It was a show on Netflix, and it was one guy in his apartment and it was his pandemic diaries, and it was a comedy thing.
Oh.
Oh my god! I just watched it yesterday. Totally, total brain fart.
Is it a movie?
No, it's a comedian guy, and he sings songs.
Oh.
Oh man! Well.
Is it the Bo Burnham one?
That's the guy. Bo Burnham locked inside. Inside,
yeah. It's called. Locked in.
I'm not familiar with him as a like comedian or anything. This is my first exposure. I watched maybe 10 minutes of the first episode. I'm like, this is terrible. I don't know. Maybe if you go further, it gets better, or maybe I just didn't get it. But it wasn't interesting and it wasn't funny. So I don't know. Everyone was raving about it, but. After 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm falling asleep here, so I turned it off. So for me, that's a pan, but lots of other people seem to like it, so maybe I just missed something.
Well, the thing of it is there's so much competing for our time now. If it's not good right away, I don't got time. You know, there's other things I should be watching. I could be watching.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I seen something about that. But yeah, it's definitely wasn't on my radar. That's for sure. Kevin, what do you got on last on your list?
All right, so show's been out a while, and we've actually watched a lot of it before. But here we are, close to the end of it, because our son has rediscovered Steven Universe.
Hmm.
So we finally did the last season of the main show, and then we did the movie, and now we're about halfway through Steven Universe Future, which is a one-season, like, time jump series. They just jump ahead to about 2 years and show where everyone is and continue the stories.
Okay.
And, jeez, it's so good. Like, we had moments during the last season of the regular show where we're, like, in awe. Like, our kid's just watching it because it's a good cartoon, he's enjoying it. But my wife and I are like, oh my god, I can't believe they just did this. Oh my god, I can't believe they did that. Because it's really dealing with, like, it's a kid's show, yes, and he's enjoying it on one level, but we're enjoying it, like, I can't believe they're packing character development and relationship lessons into this, and the level that they're doing. Like, without, you know, giving things away, there is a character that can manipulate emotions for people, make you feel very sad and pretty much immobile because you're so depressed you can't attack her, which is fantastic power.
Mm-hmm.
But then a character who had been abused just steps right up and she's like, how come my power's not affecting you? She goes, I felt worse. I'm just like, oh my god. I can't believe this in the kids' cartoon. It makes so much damn sense, too.
Yeah.
And right now, where we are for season, they're pretty much dealing with PTSD.
Hmm.
And just like, hey, it's okay to not feel good. It's okay to go through something and need a break and need to, you know, have a mental health day and need to check in on yourself and all. It's okay. I'm like, this is powerful stuff for kids. It's powerful stuff for me.
Yep.
You know, as an adult, I have times where I'm like, oh no, you got to suck it up and you got to keep moving and all. And, you know, there's someone out there's got it worse than you and everything. And I'm thinking, no, that's how you end up with, you know, ulcers and depression. And, you know, you need a bunch of pills and you need therapy and everything because you won't take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm getting this from a freaking Cartoon Network, you know, 11-minute episode here.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I was just amazed by it. I'm like, I feel better watching it. Like, it's a show where you can put it on and just flat out enjoy it, but it seems to know, like, when you need to hear something in your own life, you're like, yeah, that's a good point, Stephen. I needed to hear that. And I'm hoping that some of this is, I mean, you know, my kid's only 7, so I'm not going to see it for a while, but I'm hoping some of it is sinking in and he might, you know, when he's older, say, like, oh, I knew how to handle this because of the show. Like, something sinked in for me at such a young age.
Yeah.
you know, and thinking back for, all right, when I was a kid, it was G.I. Joe reminding me to, like, turn off the lights on the way out the room and, you know,
yeah.
Don't pick up a downed power line when you're out riding your bike. Like, that was the extension of our lesson.
Excellent. Excellent. And that's on Cartoon Network?
It's on Cartoon Network and it's on HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
And Hulu has a lot of it, too.
Excellent. Well, speaking of Cartoon Network, as soon as you started talking about that, got me thinking. I'm super excited for season 4 of Rick and Morty.
Next week?
Well, I think this Sunday. I think it comes out this Sunday.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Sunday.
I love Rick and Morty. It's got to be probably my favorite animated series that's currently running. And yeah, I'm super stoked for season 4. Like, that trailer made me laugh. And that's the way a trailer should be. You know, it should get you excited. It should get you pumped. Which the Star Trek Picard one kind of did the opposite of, you know, for me. Because I guess Data's daughter's in it again. I'm like, why? Like, I thought the story was that over. Like, eh. Yeah. But anyway, Rick and Morty, 2 thumbs up. I'm looking forward to season 4. All right. Well, this was a shorter episode, but it was a good one, I think, for Picks and Pans number 3. Yeah. But before we go, let's play that little game of where we can find you on the internet. And Ragnar, where can we find you, sir?
Well, RagnarTheTrader.com is my main website, and you can also find me on Instagram and Facebook as Ragnar the Trader.
Excellent. Excellent. And as for myself, you can find me here at the Pop Culture Pub Podcast Network. Occasionally I do blog, at randomnerdist.blogspot.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ChrisLock1701. Point this out on the group. For some reason, like, if you get your podcast through iTunes, for some reason it's showing my original logo I had for the show, which only lasted, like, maybe a month, and then I changed it. And that's
The Apple Podcast app and iTunes, it sounds like just had a big update, and I think everything's screwy on there now.
Yeah, like, I honestly don't like the update. I like the old version. I just thought it was a lot more user-friendly. And for some reason, yeah, my old logo is showing up, even though it's not on the Pop Culture Pub website, which iTunes pulls from. So I don't know why it is. Like, it's a caricature of me as Batman, which I just used as a temporary thing until I made one. And then I've since updated it since then. And I'm not happy that I can't change that back. I'm still looking into it. So, in the meantime, if that's how you get your podcast, I'm assuming maybe the other platforms are a little bit different. But that's how I get my podcast. So that's how I noticed it. And I was like, this ain't right. I don't like that. Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on pretty much all social media at Masked Library. MaskedLibrary.com is my home blog. If you like hearing me on this podcast, we are just about to wrap up the house show season for Glow. We only got a couple episodes left to cover. And then that show is taking a hiatus, but my one-on-one interview series, previously known as Hot Tag, is going to be rebranded as its own feed and bringing back the old name and the old logo, and it will be called Hellions Talks.
Excellent.
Cool. Excellent.
So, Kev, I was going to throw this by you, and we might as well talk about it since it's on the show. I do want to do a wrestling episode in the next, like, this summer sometime. And
okay.
So in 2 weeks, my dad and my stepmom help our partners in a campground or whatever, about 3 or 4 hours south of here. So anyway, they're telling me, oh, yeah, we're having this event at the campground. A bunch of old wrestlers are showing up. I may or may not be actually getting to meet Bret Hart in 2 weeks.
Whoa.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that because he's supposed to be showing up for this thing. And a bunch of, I think it's more like independent wrestlers, like in, you know, the old Stampede circuit and like the Northwestern state circuit. So anyway, I want to do a wrestling episode this summer for sure. And I'm hoping to have some stories to share because I'm hoping to meet some of these guys and hoping to get some stories from them.
I was just about to say, if you got any stories for it, I want to hear them.
Excellent. Yeah. So, and Ragnar, of course you are invited, of course, to our wrestling episode.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have a whole lot to contribute, to be perfectly honest. I haven't watched wrestling since I was a kid.
That's okay. I don't, like myself, yeah. I don't currently watch, but I have watched previously. But yeah, Kevin and I usually do a wrestling episode every year.
Heck yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking, definitely the summer after this event, I'll have some stories for sure. Anyway, we'll iron out the details in the coming weeks. So, all right, well, I guess this is an episode. So I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. This was our Picks and Pans number 3 episode. And on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, Kevin Decent, and Ragnar, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to us. And we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.
Time after time, you try to take this castle, but you will never succeed, Skeletor.
Call your champion.